Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Or if you're online and you're in the middle of the night, good middle of the night. Or good afternoon, whatever it may be. This is, again, the practical prayer life, experiencing the delight of a practical prayer life. You know, practical is one of those words, if you look up in the dictionary, that can be defined in one single word. And I doubt that you would look up in any dictionary and not see this word somewhere in the definition of practical, and it's simply the word useful. Say that.
Useful.
And you'll see as we continue in the teaching, this is based on the book that God birthed in my life several decades ago, actually, The Hour That Changes the World. And so we're sharing today, continuing 12 steps, as you see in your workbook that you have, 12 steps for cultivating daily delight in personal prayer. Now, we all understand that it's good to have things that are practical in life. My daughter's been helping me collect certain interesting statements, and I just wanted to show you how practical some things can be. This particular sentence was on a warning label for a mattress. Now, I was thinking of our mattress at home. We still have the same bed and everything that we had in California over 21 years ago, and it's called a California King. It's a king size, but I was just thinking of that mattress. The warning label included these words: "Do not attempt to swallow." Now, I got to thinking. You talk about the statement, how do you eat an elephant? Cameron Diaz, she's the movie actress, made the statement, "I've been noticing gravity since I was very young." Oh, this is really a great one. This is the weather girl, Cheryl Jones from Kansas City, KMBC. She was attempting to describe a storm with hail that was pretty bad in Tennessee, and so she said, "And in Tennessee today, they had tennis-sized golf balls." Anyway, I love this. The pastor at the church in Highland Park, Illinois, said, "Please be seated for our final hymn, Stand Up for Jesus." But my favorite warning label was on a chainsaw. This is really great. Now, that warning said, "Danger, do not hold the wrong end of the chainsaw." I was just thinking, you know, rawr. That's my, rawr. Rawr. Ow. Okay, well, that's enough of that nonsense. practical prayer life. Out of the 12 steps of prayer, I've made the statement over the years so many times. Some people say, "I cannot pray a whole hour." And I say, if you can just do anything for 5 minutes and you take these steps, and after you get to doing it, even just a few times and maybe over a few months, you'll find out, of course, that one step leads to another and some of them merge and there's similarities. But keep in mind, when we developed the practical prayer life, it happened in my life when I realized that aspects of prayer also can be attitudes and aspects of our life. And so you'll see in a moment, we have a prayer application and a life application of how we take prayer out of the closet or out of the devotional habit and we let it become a part of our life. And of course, all of this began in my life when the Lord really spoke to my heart to never let a day go by for the rest of my life, so now it's coming up on 40 years, of spending at least 1 hour in the presence of the Lord in prayer. And so, if you're new to this teaching, you'd have to go back online, www.ehc.org, and under resources and teaching, if you kind of go into the website, you'll find the practical prayer life and these other steps. But step number 10 is meditation. Meditation is one of those contemplative aspects of prayer. And of course, we have a simple definition for each of these with an action focus. And then a key word. And so you can write these in quickly. The basic definition is the act of spiritual evaluation. It's focused probing. Now, if you were to look up in the dictionary, I did this just last night, to probe is simply the act of exploring or searching. And so another definition is an investigation into unfamiliar matters. And so here we see the key word is obviously investigation. Investigation. One of the great writers of the previous generation in the previous century was E.W. Kenyon. If you ever get a hold of any of his books, they're just outstanding. And he made this statement: a prayer life doesn't just mean hours spent in actual prayer, but hours of study and meditation in the Word until the life becomes literally absorbed in the Word, and the Word becomes a very part of us. And meditation is what does this. Now, let's look at meditation on a biblical basis, a verse or two. And I may have some extra verses in your worksheet, but I'm going to touch on some of these. Psalm 143, verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. And so that is a kind of meditation. Joshua 1:8, of course, familiar to many, is this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now, the way you meditate on the word day and night is when you're alone in prayer, you saturate yourself in moments in the word, and then that stays with you and comes back. Actually, and I don't know if I'll share this anywhere else in this teaching later, but it's like the word meditate actually is like the cow. This isn't a pleasant thought, I know. Bringing its cud up to get more nourishment out of what's already down there. Mm-hmm. Nice thought for all of you. So, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You can't do it if you don't know it. Amen? So, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Several years ago, in this very building, the Jericho Center, at the encouragement of our executive director, Tim Middlebrook, we began to play day and night, 24 hours a day, the Word of God. And even when the office is in one part, it's going day and night. Then the volume comes up on our speakers that are all over the building. And because it's the dramatized version of the NIV, the New International Version, often I'd come into the building on a Sunday afternoon or a Saturday afternoon when no one was in the building then, and I would think, oh, wow, someone's arguing in the Shout to the Lord court. That's what we call the atrium up there. Wow, boy, whoever it is really going at it. And then I went in there, and it was Jesus cleaning the temple. You scribes and Pharisees, you know, hypocrites, you know. But from that, that is one of the things, in addition to our making a commitment to begin day and night worship here in the building, and that's our commitment, and we're working on that now. And all the things, I'll talk about that in the last part of this, the final part of this teaching. But God began to prosper this ministry in extraordinary ways. In fact, over those years, I think income has increased in this decade maybe 500%. The results overseas, some of them in some parts as much as five. Well, in one country this last year in planting Christ groups, the increase was 22,500%. That's because in Mongolia last year, or a year ago, not this past year, but the year before that, we had just one new house church planted. And then it was like 259. And if you do a percentage, it's something like that. I'm not great at math, but anyway. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Psalm 77:6. Psalm 77:6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. That is a perfect picture of probing. My spirit makes diligent search. Samuel Chadwick was a British Bible teacher in the late 1800s and into the first part of the 1900s, principal of Cliff College, an absolutely incredible intercessor and teacher too. He said, dreaming is not meditation. Dozing is not thinking. I'm really good at that, I tell you. Prayer in the secret place demands every faculty at its best. Call every faculty of the mind and body to remembrance, recognition, and realization of the God that is in the secret and seeth in secret. Hold the mind to this fact. Tolerate no distraction, allow no diversion, indulge no dissipation. Or it's a word. which means, by the way, they had other interesting words back there. I looked this up in the dictionary. I wasn't quite sure. I kind of had an idea of what it meant, but it's wasteful expenditure. The act of self-indulgence or amusement to dissipate is to spend or use up wastefully or foolishly. Anyway, a summary definition of meditation is simply, and we have this for all these steps, a time to search. A time to search. Let's just take a little closer look at meditation. Meditation comes from two Old Testament Hebrew words, haggah, H-A-G-A-H, as you see in your worksheet. I believe these can be downloaded too from the website. To mutter or muse. To mutter or muse. And sika, S-I-C-A-H, to bow down. You're kind of just bowing down before the word and you're meditating. It's from the New Testament Greek word meliteo, which means to be careful, to show care. Meliteo, to be careful, to show care. Here's a prayer application. I mentioned to you that we have not only a prayer application, but a life application. And the prayer application here is to ponder spiritual themes. To ponder spiritual themes. And as I've shared already, it's to probe, it's to get in, it's to take some time, even over a phrase that you may have read in Scripture as you bring the Word into your prayer time. And of course, some of you here know that we recently completed the very substantive University of the Word, reminding those who participated in every session that the word university means a place of learning at the highest level. And so when we get into the word and study it, we're actually enrolling in the place of learning at the highest level that God has provided us. And so during prayer time, as in earlier in this teaching, we actually had this session on scripture praying. And you'll find that in my book, which we have here in this meeting, The Hour That Changes the World, and with the circle and the steps. And scripture praying is a time when you're reading the scripture, you turn it into prayer. But during that process, you can hold on to something for that time of meditation. We have a prayer application, which we've shared, to ponder spiritual themes. Now, how do we take that quality into our walk with the Lord on a daily basis? And the one thing that just comes to my mind is be a positive thinker. And I'm not talking about getting carried away with an aspect of life that, you know, some people, think that, you know, to be a positive thinker, you've got to be just a little bit wacko or something, you know. Some people get carried away with the prosperity gospel, linking it to positive thinking. There's something about God prospering us that's healthy. There's also something healthy about being a positive thinker. And so that is the life application for this particular point. Bridget Herman, I came across a book called Listening Prayer many, many years ago, and learned later, I thought, this is absolutely incredible book on listening and meditation. And I discovered that she was a Presbyterian pastor's wife around the middle, maybe a little later, of the 1800s. And it's amazing to me how things can speak to us in this way after so many years. And this is what Bridget Herman said. Meditation is a spiritual act that is as definite and as purposeful as a business engagement, a pledge of friendship, or a solemn undertaking. In it, we apply spiritual facts and principles to ourselves as individuals and as citizens of the kingdom of God. Having pondered them, we work to appropriate their value by an outgoing of our loving desires toward God. Now, there's a lot in this. And it's printed in your worksheet for you to think on this later. And by exercising our will in the formation of resolutions. It's very beautiful the way she phrases and describes an act that we would normally just think of, well, it's meditation is just thinking about something. But it becomes so profound when we begin to move into these aspects of prayer. Now, what you'll learn, and this is what happened in my life, God used these steps to help me begin to have a prayer life, but then they began to grow to where sometimes most of your time may be taken up in one of these steps. You never want to do something legalistically or rigidly or ritualistically, but this is a help to get you started. And I know I've shared earlier in this particular teaching, I've shared it in other teachings on prayer, that the Bible talks in Ephesians about all the kinds of prayer. I'm going to comment on that, I know, in one of the later lessons that's related to this very teaching, so I won't get into it now. But we want to have balance. We want to recognize that prayer is not just saying, oh God, today please give me these things. You know, God, give me this, give me that, and I'll have a yellow one of those, and a pink one of those, and a big one of those. Amen. You know, which is, of course, what some people think of prayer. So we have this circle we've been going through. You know, it's interesting to me, and I didn't set out to see this happen, but taken into consideration the duplication of this in prayer maps and books and different things, and then people always write and ask for permission. It's probably one of the guides that's been duplicated as much as any other single guide on the subject of prayer. My prayer is that it just will be a help to people. You know what's great? If you start just doing these things, what can happen is in the process, you fall in love more and more with Jesus. How about that? And pretty soon, it's not just, oh, I've got to have all these steps. It's, I want to be with Jesus. And this can help us get into that. And so you can see we've come now to the 10th step. We've had all these different steps. And again, you can go back and look at them if you would like online and in the book. Well, where to next? I conclude each of these. These are relatively short. Shorter sessions, for example, than the sessions where we've done at the University of the Word and some of our other teaching. Generally, we've wanted to do that so if a group wants to use some of this teaching in a class setting and then have an application, that there's time for them to do that. Because often, even on a Sunday morning in a class setting in a church, they're limited to maybe 30 to 40 minutes. In the course, or 45 minutes in the course of an hour. But when I first developed The Hour That Changes the World, I knew that I needed to make some suggestions of how to do that specific thing for people that say, well, you know, I did get something out of the teaching that this is a biblical thing to do, but I'm not quite sure how to do it during prayer. And so that's why I conclude with these four ways to apply it. And there are four suggestions, as you see, to help you personally apply this aspect. Let me just comment on them. And then we'll have a little time of prayer here too, like we often do. And I trust that you, if you're all alone and you're watching this, that you would take time to actually do this too, kind of to practice. And then if you're in a group, you can actually have a discussion about this, maybe even a testimony of something that you've learned about it or something. But here is the four things. Number one is you select a theme or a scripture, passage, for your time of meditation, applying full attention to that specific area of spiritual thought. So there's an element of concentration involved. Allow your mind to, this is number two, allow your mind to wander within the framework of your chosen theme. So, you know, sometimes we have a struggle with a wandering mind. But have you ever noticed that sometimes God can use a wandering mind to take you to something he wants you to hear? I think many Christians have experienced going into a church service and the pastor is preaching and all of a sudden says something and off your mind goes. That, and you, that can be a negative, but can be a positive if God is amplifying a truth and he's bringing something to your attention. When the psalmist said, I will remember the days of old. Some of you know that for now it's about 33 years. I've kept a daily journal. I wish I would have earlier in my life, in my walk with the Lord, but I started doing it every day. And there have been times, now it's in 17 volumes, and so whatever 33 times 365 would be is how many entries there are in that, because I really do it every day. And so there are times, literally, I don't know if I've shared this with you before, but and it doesn't happen, you know, like two or three times a week, but there are times, and sometimes I just feel a little discouraged. There's pressures coming, it seems like there's so much to do, how are we gonna get it done? And I'm sitting in prayer, and spontaneously I just reach up and grab one of those volumes, open it up, sometimes seemingly to the middle of nowhere, and it might be March 15th, 1987. And I just start to read, and something comes over me, oh, of the faithfulness of God. It's almost every time I'll read something where I see where God took us and how he's blessed in such an unusual way. And so allow your mind to wander within the framework of your chosen theme. Ponder all aspects of the theme carefully in reference to God. In other words, you can actually meditate, think on a blessing God gave you. I've shared periodically of different memories I've had of just absolutely the presence of God. And one of the strange ones to me more was when I wrote the first book, which is our book, No Easy Road, The Inspirational Thoughts on Prayer, kind of a pilgrim's progress of journeying along the path of prayer until we get to where we're really want to go. We're headed to the mountain of God's power and the mountain of God's presence. But I was rejected. You know, you get these rejection letters because there are publishers out there that just don't get it. I heard this comedian the other day saying, right in the middle, he said, oh, by the way, I need to let you know, I finally signed a contract with HBO. And everybody just cheered and clapped. He said, yeah, it's only costing me $29 a month. They all thought he was going to be, okay, well, you got it. but it's when I went out to the mailbox after sending, after actually hand delivering to a publisher back in the Midwest, Baker Bookhouse, I flew from California and hand delivered the manuscript because I thought that might help. And the president and his son actually went to lunch with me. And I told him, I said, I believe within 25 years, prayer will be one of the most talked of topics and even in books in America. And by the way, 25 years after that, almost to the day I met them, the Prayer of Jabez book was number one on the New York Times bestseller list. I thought it wasn't my book, but it was still on prayer. But it was when I went to the mailbox and I pulled out a big envelope from the publisher, and I had gotten little envelopes, which are the rejection letters, And suddenly I just began to kind of shake, thinking, there's something in this. It's like the size of a contract. And that's what it was. And I still remember just feeling, Lord, everything was worth it up to that point in trying to communicate what was on my heart. Well, now, why did I even tell that? It seems like I have nothing to do with this, except sometimes when you get discouraged, you can go back and meditate and think on the ways God blessed you, the way he took you through something. And so, but not, let's go on because we're almost finished. Number three, ask questions about this theme. So you're talking to yourself. That's okay. Ask questions about this theme that might lead you into an even deeper mental study of the subject. Now remember, this happens quicker than I'm describing it, but I want to highlight these things. And finally, number four, bring scripture into all phases of meditation. This strengthens your awareness that God's word is the necessary foundation for all meaningful spiritual thought. And so that's why, again, on the one hand, I could say don't be legalistic, but on the other hand, I can say be determined. Be determined that I'm going to engage with the word of God from day to day. And I can guarantee you, once it becomes a habit, it's as normal as brushing your teeth. If you brush your teeth every day, and I hope you do, if you eat healthy, if you take a bath now and then, fairly regular, I hope. But anything that becomes a habit, the same thing can happen in these particular steps of prayer. As you know, we try to end each of our sessions with praying together, talking about these things. And so we're going to do that. As I said again, these are shorter lessons, but I want you really to take them to heart. And so we're going to take a few minutes first to, again, we refer to these as afterthoughts, and to ponder points. If a person's all alone, you're pondering this. Of course, in a group like we have here at the tables, you can discuss these. And so here, discuss or ponder why you think Satan has used the act of meditation. Now, this is an important question. Through such activities as yoga, Scientology, Eastern religions, and other New Age forms to hold the minds of unbelievers captive. What is it about this that Satan has used this particular biblical tool? Actually, do you know when I first wrote and even used meditation, I got letters of criticism that I was I was New Age just because I mentioned a biblical thing. But how many agree God had all this stuff before anybody else did? Yeah. So what do you think makes biblical meditation so powerful in the life of the believer? So that's the thing you can talk about over 3 or 4 minutes. And then when it comes time to pray, here's what we want to pray. Take several moments just to be still. We're going to have a quiet moment. Just to be still and meditate on something of God's word, what he has said, or something of God's works, what he has done. You know, we were just back on the National Day of Prayer. I may tell you a little story about that in another part of these lessons, but we had the Azusa Pacific Men's Choir. And they just kept coming in and coming in and coming into the room. And I thought, my goodness, they had to empty a 747 airliner. But it was a huge group. And they sang, of course, beautiful hymns. And then they sang, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain." And we think of that poem written because of, or on top of Pike's Peak. And I don't know the whole story right here. But you can think on something God has created. And you're not, it's like you're not worshiping that object. You're worshiping and thinking on the God who did this. Oh, it's extraordinary. So take several moments just to be still and meditate on something of God's word, what he has said, or something of God's works, what he has done. And then end your time of prayer by describing back to God why you appreciate the truths you have seen as you're meditating.